You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to the My Senior Horse Podcast. Today we're going to talk about helping senior equids lose or gain weight, along with some of the health issues that could lead to those problems in the first place. I'm Kim Brown, Editorial Director for My Senior Horse. Our guests today for the podcast are Dr. Pat Harris and Dr. Nikki Jarvis. Both are veterinarians as well as experts in various aspects of equine care. Dr. Harris is a past president of the British Equine Veterinary Association and is a European specialist in veterinary and comparative nutrition. She is the director of science for Mars Horse Care and head of the Waltham Equine Studies Group. Dr. Harris has spent much of the last 30 years working to help improve the care and nutrition of older horses. She also is passionate about seniors because of her dedication to her own older horses. She has advised on the care of many seniors and has authored numerous articles on their care. Dr. Harris' involvement in several global senior research teams gives her special insight into some of these studies. She's also on the Executive Advisory Council for My Senior Horse. Dr. Nicola Jarvis is head of veterinary and care at Red Wings Horse Sanctuary in Norfolk, England. She qualified from the Royal Veterinary College London in 1990 and worked in mixed practice for 2 years before moving to Newmarket, where she completed a 2-year internship at Rossdale's Equine Hospital. She then joined Red Wings Horse Sanctuary in Norfolk in 1996. She is now head of veterinary and care there, working with what she calls an incredible team of veterinary surgeons and nurses to care for more than 1,500 resident horses, donkeys, and mules. Dr. Jarvis attained her RCVS Certificate of Advanced Veterinary Practice in Equine Medicine in 2012 and her Cert AVP in Equine Surgery Soft Tissue in 2013. Her specialist interests include equine nutrition, geriatric medicine, internal medicine, and colic. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Kim. It's a pleasure to be here.
Between my daughter and I, we have 11 equids from a 16-plus hand gray mule that will pack your full elk out of the mountains, down to a mini mule, a miniature donkey, every breed you can imagine. I mean, we've just got a diversity. And it is amazing how you look at them, but without some sort of assessment, you can overlook when somebody's getting a little chunky or maybe somebody has gotten a little thin over the winter, because you're seeing so many different body types all the time. And I'm sure, Dr. Jarvis, you see that too, which leads me to my next question. So are there differences between horses and ponies and donkeys and mules when it comes to being underweight?
But your question, Kim, about the differences between horses, ponies, donkeys, and mules. So first off, a confession. It's not something I'd sat down and thought about before. So I quite like the challenge of this question because there are so many similarities. So many of the diseases that we spoke about at the start of the podcast are the same. So dentition, critical. Getting the correct amount of food in an appropriate diet, again, critical. Endoparasites being a problem if they're not appropriately dealt with, again, universal across the species. And the list goes on, the clinical conditions they can get, etc. Osteoarthritis affecting them in older age. So there are huge similarities. So I was trying to think now, what would be the critical differences to me? And I think for me, the following is the key thing, is how stoic donkeys are. And also, I would say mules and little aged ponies, always very stoic. And I think that makes it a lot more of a challenge as an owner to see those early signs of disease and that animal being unwell. Your horses in general, obviously I appreciate every single horse is different and has its own character, but generally if a horse is colicking, you will get an Oscar-winning performance. Yeah. whereas you know, we do have some quieter older horses that won't do that. But very often, again, your donkey may just literally be a little quiet, and that can actually have a very serious clinical problem. So I think for me, it's the nature it's their temperaments and how stoic donkeys and small ponies can be that makes it more of a challenge, and that you do massively therefore need to rely on the body condition scoring that Pat was talking about, because that might be your first sign of chronic disease, is this subtle weight loss. I think the other thing that sprang to mind is the difference in lifespan. So we all talk about the older equine, and I know for many, when it comes to research and study, we consider, you know, the horse to be older when it's over the age of 15. But and whilst for a thoroughbred horse over the age of 15, well, some of them may only get to sort of like their 20s. When you talk about a small Welsh pony or a small Shetland pony, very often they're chugging along nicely into their 30s. And as for the donkeys, well, you know, some of them can reach 50, heaven forbid. So I think there's a lot to be said for the longer lifespan. So arguably they've got more to go wrong, but equally you maybe haven't got some of the same wear and tear on your tiny ponies and donkeys, because they're not in doing as much exercise as maybe your horses that are in ridden work and competition work. So there would be some differences there, I feel. And then the only other thing that really sprang to mind is, because we are talking about the underweight animal and we're looking at different conditions that can affect them, and I think it's really important at this stage to mention hyperlipemia. So hyperlipemia is a condition whereby if there's a negative energy balance, so for some reason that horse has, that equine hasn't been provided with enough food or is feeling unwell and isn't taking in enough food, the body responds by mobilizing sort of various lipids and triglycerides from the fat stores. And in small amounts, that's okay, because it's what they do to provide extra energy. But in large amounts, it can build up in the blood, settle out into the liver. And when they go into quite full-blown hyperlipemia, they're not only exceptionally ill, but it has a very high mortality rate, even with treatment. And then the trouble is, you've got all the signs of hyperlipemia. It makes it sometimes even harder to find out what was the primary cause, what caused the animal to stop eating. Now, hyperlipemia can happen in horses, but it's far less common than it is in small ponies, donkeys. And so it's something to be really aware of, and particularly where you've got an older animal with concurrent conditions, you've maybe got stress due to changing circumstances. Very often some of these animals in old age, you know, you've got insulin dysregulation, and that can really predispose them to going into hyperlipemia if they're not eating enough. So, there was a study I found, AAEP, that also showed it can be quite common in the miniature horse. So again, it's all of these smaller breeds and your donkeys. It's something to be massively aware of when you're talking about the underweight horse and looking into problems. Whereas, like I say, in the horse, it is less common. So Pat, I don't know if you had any other thoughts, but those were the ones I sort of came up with for the main differences.
No, and I think it is the stoic nature, but also it's really important, we're not going to get on and maybe we should have another, is that donkeys are not small horses and small ponies are not small horses, and actually we do need to think of that. And the other thing that I feel very strongly about is that these animals, especially ponies, that for 20-30 years have been really, as I said, really good doers, don't need a lot happening to them, they suddenly, there is a point at which they switch. And I think that is it's that not assumption that because they've always been a good doer, we've always got to be careful. Sometimes you just need to be aware they change. And I think it's that long age. And that is fascinating. Ponies and horses are different in how their microbiome changes with age. It is interesting, but we do need to think that. And donkeys in particular, in their whole diet and change. So, yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting that we see, I think, a lot more donkeys over in Europe and some other countries, but they have become so popular with the competition groups now. They've discovered the love of the donkey. So I'm not sure, once you get a donkey hug, you can't go back, right? But there's a lot of people and they try to treat them like a little horse, and they are not.
No, definitely huge, huge differences, particularly from a dietary point of view, and particularly with, I know we're talking about the underweight, but how easily donkeys can gain weight if we accidentally try to feed them like we would a horse or a pony. Do you know what I mean? That's something I see very commonly, is that they're on, the same grazing that a horse or pony might be on, and it's often quite rich, and you've got superb quality hays and everything. Well, that's absolutely wonderful. But if they've got good dentition, donkeys quite like a bit of straw in their diet. So I think we are in danger of very often of having our donkeys on the overweight side.
Mars Equestrian, a sponsorship division of Mars Incorporated, is dedicated to highlighting the Mars brands, such as Buckeye Nutrition, Spillers, Antec Diagnostics, Sound Imaging, Royal Canin, Pedigree, Nutro, and many more in the equestrian world. Whether it's through nutrition, veterinary care, or education, our purpose is to create a better world for horses, pets, and the people who love them.
Dr. Harris, let's talk about, as a nutritionist, what would a nutritionist be looking for when they're starting to solve the problem of an underweight senior equid?
Yeah, I'm going to expand a bit on what Nikki said, because I think Nikki's starting point was a really good overview. And I'll leave some of the health conditions in a bit more detail to Nikki. But for me, the point about a nutritionist is you have to be quite holistic. So you need to go in, because whilst the diet is important, to me, it's looking at the whole context of the diet and how they're being managed. So when you just take forage, you can't just say, and I think Nikki, you said it, it's not just how much, it is what the type is. And is it appropriate for that individual animal? And this depends whether it's fresh or preserved. But it's not only is it appropriate in the amount, but when are they feeding it? How are they feeding it? You know, some horses, we often try and want to feed from the ground, often because it helps respiratory. It's better for their teeth for some animals. But we have to be careful. There are risks, because you might get contamination. They kick it around. But if the horse has got arthritis in the neck and we put it down, they can't use it. But if we put it in a hay net and it's at the wrong height, it actually causes more pressure that they have to take it out. So everything that, when I'm looking as a nutritionist, you have to look at that, the totality. It is amounts and how. So for me, I start, if it's an underweight, I want to know the age, the history, the clinical conditions. But I want to know how it's being managed, what it's being done. And whether, again, we're feeding for weight gain, weight loss, or weight maintenance. And then I think, as well as the forage, and forage is number one, and I love the way that Nikki, number one's forage. And then we think about the complementary feed, and is it the right type? Is it the right format? And we'll come to that. But, if the horse has severe dental issues, they won't be able to eat long hay, and therefore we need to feed them a mash or a soaked feed. And then you've got to be, how many times do we feed it? How many times are they being fed? But then you've also got to say, is the owner able to do that? So if I come up with a ration and say, you're going to feed this horse, I want you to feed them 7 times a day, and the owner can't, then what happens is the horse doesn't get fed either enough, or they alter it. So when I'm also looking at the feeding, I'm looking at how can the owner manage? Are they actually doing what they say? Can they do it? People often say horses are eating ad lib. Are they actually ad libbing? Are they having ad lib? Is ad lib the right amount? For all the reasons I said, are we wasting it? So you do need to know how much they're doing it. So for me, there's a lot about health. There's a lot about current food they're feeding, and how, and who's doing it, and when are they doing it? But then, as Nikki says, we both feel very strongly, you need to go and look. If they're part of a herd, has that changed? has their companion gone? Have they got older? Has another horse or them been put in a grazing muzzle? What has happened to might have changed those herd dynamics? And then if they're out at pasture, is it hilly? They may have been fine for 20 years, but now they've got osteoarthritis, they can't. The water. Water is my big thing. Older horses in particular, and especially with PPID, they may need it to make sure they've got enough water because if they're sweating more, because the coat's longer. So the water, are they getting chased away from the water? Is it deep mud around the water bin? Can they get to it? Is it warm enough? And again, I'm going to let Nikki talk in more detail, but teeth and horses can become quite sensitive to cold water. So they may have been absolutely fine having cold water in the field, but if they get sensitive teeth, they can't drink the water. If they don't drink enough water, their appetite will go off and they'll start losing weight. So it's as simple as looking at that. And then it's feeding troughs. A lot of older horses, they take longer to eat. So previously you could feed them out in the field, you could look at them and they'd be fine. But now you may need to separate them. But separating them for some horses is not ideal. So have they been separated? Great, to try and encourage them to eat, but actually they're not eating because they're separated. In which case you need to put their friend next door to them. You might need to have a little tiny pen. My husband built me little pens and he built me raised troughs that were easily washable. So my horse could come in, her friend was next door. She could take the time. The other one was standing there with her head on, periodically biting her, but she was quite happy with that. And I think it's things like that. And then again, I'm looking at, are the owners thinking about environmental issues? Now, again, as horses get older, and we're talking senior horses, older horses are less able to deal with temperature. So they are less able to thermoregulate. So that means they're more likely to suffer for cold, but also hot. So sometimes it's, you know, it's rugs on, rugs off, because they will get cold, they will get hot. You need to think about that more in these older animals. So for me, when I'm thinking about weight loss, yes, it's the diet. Yes, it is the health issues. But there's all this, these other issues that I think we as people who love our older horses really want us to be aware of. And for me, I try and train all the nutritionists that work with me and colleagues is to look at that general pattern. A few other things just to mention, drugs. Sometimes they're put on drugs for management. And again, the vet quite correctly says, you know, feed this, but that the horse then suddenly starts not wanting to eat or not wanting to eat as much. And again, if they're being left, someone else might eat it. And that's one, again, with the teeth that both Nikki and I have, quidding. You have the fact that a horse may have quids, and I'm sure people know they're called corn dollies. But when the horse can't swallow the food and they just make these lovely little balls of moist hay or grass or whatever it is, and it drops out their mouth. But actually, if you've got a cheeky little pony in the field, and I know it happened with my old horse, just followed the old horse around eating all the quids. Interestingly, the pony had a grazing muzzle on. Perfect, because now it got chewed up, done, and it could just put the whole of the grazing muzzle over the quid and suck up the quid. So I think it's really important to watch. It's really important to think about those. And before we go on to the health, one other area to be important of, horses as they get older, in my experience, are more sensitive to heat and cold of the food as well, as I said, not just the water. So, and they can become very sensitive to the food slightly going off. So when my horse was on mashes for 15 years, over 15 years, and I know that when in the summer, I had to feed it a lot more fresh. You can't leave it stored because as soon as it slightly gets warm, she'd go off. In the winter, again, if it was slightly too cold, she wouldn't eat as much. And this means, again, when I'm as a nutritionist looking for weight loss, I also want to go in the feed room. So for all of you with horses, go and check your feed and forage. Check your forage. Is it stored okay? Is there any risk that there could have been animals getting at it? what is going on? Is that haylage been open for too long and your old horse, it's actually getting spoiled? They're noticing there is a smell to its change. Not all horses will pick it up, but your older horse might. Could be a younger horse as well. But also feed storage. Sometimes we need to make sure, and I'm particularly with my older horse, I was quite maniacal about really cleaning out the bins between feeds. And I am one of the people who did genuinely change forage over very slowly, in particular my older horse. So those are some little thoughts. One other to just ask, has the carer changed? Horses do get quite, older horses get attached to other animals, but they also get quite attached to their owner, feeder, carer. And it might not be the person, but I think they recognise them, but they recognise voices. And if someone comes along and it's a different voice and maybe they're slightly more sharp or whatever, it just change. So don't only think, has the horse lost weight because of a horse companion, but has there been a change in the management and the staff and the regime? Older horses may become more, oh, I don't mind what you do as long as you come and see me. But others become very much, look, where are you? You're not here. I'm getting stressed. And stress can impact on their appetite. So I'm looking for things that may be subtle that might have affected appetite, as well as clinical problems and physical problems, which is why it's such a challenge and so lovely if you can get it right.
Well, and I'm going to mention one thing about the herd dynamics that maybe our audience doesn't think about. I lived in Kentucky for most of my life. So having fat quarter horses, a PSSM mare, and a miniature donkey, we had a big dry lot, right? And so we were feeding hay to the big horses that had a tray, so the donkey wasn't. And I could not keep the weight off the donkey. And she was weighing her feed, weighing her forage, checking everything. And so I just did what my veterinarian said, have you observed? And so I went and fed, sat on my back porch and just, you know, because usually you're off running doing other things after you fed the horses, and sat there and noticed that my quarter horse mare would pull hay out of her feeder and drop it on the ground and feed the donkey. So it's not just sometimes the horses running them off the feed. I had one that was feeding the fat donkey. So, yeah, so observation, as my veterinarians have taught me, is critical.
I've also had a pony that will pull the tree down to pass the apples to the others. So I really agree. I think it's not only watching what they do, but is there been a change? I think everybody needs to know how their horse normally approaches forage. I'd recommend people to just spend time periodically just sitting. How do they graze? How do they eat forage and their complementary feed? Because it enables you to see a change. And you are the best person to see a change and then to tell the vet something's not right, something isn't right. And then you can try and explore what it is. But the best is observation. Yeah, totally agree.
Well, I want to say thank you to both Dr. Harris and Dr. Jarvis for joining us today. This was a wonderful educational time together. And we hope that both of you will come back and talk to us more, because as Pat mentioned at one point, we could talk all day on just one of these topics. So thank you.
Well, thank you for the invitation to come and join the podcast. Always lovely to sit and chat with Pat. Absolute delight to have met you properly, Kim, today, and chatted with yourself. And yeah, Pat and I thoroughly enjoyed talking about older horses. So thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Couldn't say anything else but agree. Thanks, Kim.
Well, I'd like to remind our audience that if you have any senior equine questions you would like to have answered through articles or podcasts or videos or whatever form of you would like to receive the information, let me know. And you can send an email to me at kbrown, that's the letter K, Brown, at equinenetwork.com. Thank you so much for joining us today. Take care of yourselves and your senior equids.